God. Thank you, Jesus. We just lift up your name, Lord Jesus, in this place. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your hand on each one of our lives. Father, I thank you for your purposes, for your very best outcome for each one of us. And Father, I thank you that you have a plan to get us there. And Lord, I pray that you would show the way to each one in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Well, why don't you take your seats? Well, first of all, thank you so much just to everyone that was praying for me as I went with Ruth to Dubai. We had just such a tremendous time there. And the testimonies, they keep rolling in. Another one just popped up this morning. They've been sending them by email, Facebook, tracking us down every which way just to share what God did. So it was an awesome time. God moved in power. And, you know, there were some historic moments while we were there as well. And so we really do thank the Lord for everything that he did. And I'm sure we're going to be back. On the last evening that we were there, I said, oh, what a wonderful way, because I'd just preached at their big Sunday evening service. And then we went out for this gorgeous Lebanese meal. And I said, what a wonderful last night in Dubai to our host. No, don't you dare say it's your last night in Dubai. You're coming back soon. So, it was really, really wonderful. So thank you for your prayers. Hallelujah. Do you know my background, as many of you will know, after I graduated, my background is in marketing and communications. And I spent about 20 years in various different roles in marketing and communications. And one thing I've understood about God is that he is the ultimate marketeer. And I say that with all due respect and honor. You see, to me, marketing is an honorable job. Okay? Some of you looking at me as though to say, marketing? You know, like PR? No. I'm talking marketing, and I'll explain what I mean. When you're thinking about marketing anything, an organization, a product, you always have to think, well, what is the benefit? You don't think, what's the process? In other words, you know, you don't have an advert on TV going, you know, wear this hairspray and, you know, your hair will stick in that exact position all day. What they say is they do, wear this hairspray and you'll get the man. It's true, isn't it? The woman with the hairspray's running down to meet the man, you know, and suddenly they're in an embrace. So wear the hairspray and you get the guy is the subtext, you know. Or I remember, you know, I was in a queue in Boots, the chemist, and I saw this face cream and it said on the side of it, you know, in 4 weeks you'll look 10 years younger. So guess which mug bought it? You know, buy the cream and look 21 again. You know, so marketing is all about identifying the benefits. But you know, that's what God does. And when there are certain areas in our lives and in our hearts that he wants to do a little bit of a tweak, then what he will present to us is the benefits, the blessings. And we're going to look at an attribute today that is very, very dear to the heart of God. But before we do that, you see, in marketing, we used to often have teaser campaigns, which is when you tease people, and they get all excited and interested, and so they want to know about your product. I remember when Orange was first launched, I was working for the PR company that launched it, and literally, we had all the details of that campaign behind lock and key. Everyone was sworn to secrecy because it was this. You probably don't remember, but there was this campaign with big orange squares just appearing across London and nothing else. It was a teaser campaign so that by the time then the phone company was announced, everybody wanted to know. So, you know, that's so often, I mean, God tells us what he's talking about. But so often I think when I understand the blessings first, it pulls me in more to wanting to get God's heart. Do you understand? So I just want to read out, before we go into what, I'm going to talk about a fundamental attribute that you and I need to seek. Amen? And I'm going to mention some of the blessings that you will get if you start to make this a conscious object of you, your pursual. Not just something that you hope you are, but something that you will pursue. Do you hear the difference? So you'll get promotion. You'll get honor. You'll get favor. I like this one. You'll get beauty. You know, never mind my creams, you know. You'll get joy. You'll get his refreshing in your life. How many of you really need to be refreshed? You know, we need his refreshing, don't we? You'll get his help and his guidance. You'll get wisdom. And you know, if you get wisdom, you get just about everything else you need. I mean, I've studied wisdom. If you get wisdom, you get virtually everything else. And you'll get seeing eyes, hearing ears. In other words, you'll be the person who sits when the message is being preached and you'll get what God wants to say to you. You won't be the one at the end going, what was that about? Do you understand? And you'll get angelic help. I love that one. I remember my husband said, it's only once, but one time when we were ministering overseas, and there was this one particular time where he said he saw my angel, and he said, my goodness, Joe, that angel was fast. And I thought, praise God. I like having a speedy angel. But as I was praying over someone, he literally saw the angel that accompanied my ministry just literally go straight out of that building, just hearkening to the voicing of the word of God. Because that's what the Bible says that angels do. They listen for you confessing and praying the word of God, and they go do it. Hallelujah. Pray the word. Don't pray your worries. Pray the word. Hallelujah. So it's pretty good, this attribute. You get angelic help. Now, I want us to turn to Numbers chapter 12, and I'm just going to read three verses. Numbers chapter 12 and three verses. And it says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now the title of my message today is The Way Up. And we're going to be looking at humility today. Because you see, if we can really learn what it really means, not what we think it means, to walk in humility, we are going to see so many doors just open. We're going to see ourselves attracting God. Isn't that good? Attracting God. And you know, the reason I read that particular story is after Moses, my guess is the most spiritual two people around at that time were Aaron and Miriam. After Moses. Yeah, probably the most spiritual woman around was Miriam. Probably the second most spiritual man was Aaron. And these two at that very time were saying, who does Moses really think he is? The very thing that they were accusing him of was pride. Thinking he was someone special, someone a bit more important than them. Now, why have I mentioned this? Because you see, I believe humility is one of those attributes because it's so important. And, you know, the Bible says that God shows favor to the humble. The Bible says that he exalts the humble. He beautifies the humble. The Bible says he refreshes the humble. I mean, there's very little God won't do for somebody who is humble. So what does Satan do? Try and conceal what true humility is. He wants you and me to believe it's one thing when actually it's something very different. So Moses appeared to his two closest friends as a proud man. But God said he was the humblest man that walked the earth. Do you know the other thing I love and the other reason that I chose that passage is because Moses didn't start out humble. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's hope for us all. Moses started out pretty arrogant and self-sufficient. You know, when he first got an inkling of the call of God in his life, he was like, yeah, great, come on, off I go. Let's go kill a few Egyptians, take matters into my own hands and make it happen. You know, and God had to deal with Moses. And if we look at what Moses' life was like between that incident where he goes and tries to make his own call happen until then God called him, he had a really tough time. You know, what was the one job that Egyptians thought was just the lowest of the lowest? And he was raised by Egyptians, remember, was being a shepherd. And what did Moses go do? He became a shepherd. What was God doing? He was dealing with all that stuff on the inside that needed to be changed for him to be useful to the Father. You know, and really we see what his life was like a bit then. Do you remember he called his son Gershom? And that means, I've been a stranger in this place. He was feeling alone. He was thinking, what's going on with my life? I'm supposed to be delivering the people. You know, I know something on the inside is telling me that I'm called to deliver these people. And look at me. Not only am I not among my people, but I'm not even in the place where my people are held captive. I'm somewhere else, just looking after sheep. I had a really good friend when I was a teenager. We went to the same church, and she was always so embarrassed of what her dad did. You know, I remember whenever you asked her, if anyone said, oh, what does your dad do? She'd say, oh, he works for the council. Because she couldn't handle saying he's a dustbin man. You know, but I think that if Moses had been around today, he'd have done something like that. He'd have been a dustbin man. He'd have been doing something that to him was a really low job. And God used that period in Moses' life to deal with his heart so that he could become the most famous man at his time and still not consider himself to be some jumped up leader. Are you hearing me? You know, I think it's really interesting, you know. I was thinking, wow, God called Moses the humblest man that walked the earth. And yet he was the greatest, he's probably, possibly the greatest leader in the Old Testament. I mean, we could debate about that, but possibly, yeah? Now, isn't that interesting? What does the Bible say? If you humble yourself, he will exalt you. Amen. So no wonder he ended up so great. Because you see, when you and I learn how to humble ourselves, God says, yeah, I've got someone I can raise up. God starts to be attracted. You see, favor is when you attract attraction, isn't it? Favor is when wherever you go, just people are attracted to you. And when God is attracted to you. Hallelujah. And if we humble ourselves God's way, not, you know, the Bible talks about false humility. And that's what the enemy wants us to think it is. All the external stuff. But when we really get what humility is, God gets so attracted to us, so attracted. You know, I just want to give you the meaning of the word for humility in the Hebrew. It's a word, anoa, and it means condescension. Which I was like, whoa, condescension? But then I looked up what condescension means. Listen to this. To voluntarily put aside your dignity or superiority and assume equality with one regarded as inferior. Let me ask you, because I know the human heart, who do you really consider is a little bit inferior to you? You know, and then humility is laying aside whatever dignity or superiority you may have and considering and making yourself equal with that person. Isn't that awesome? It also means depressed or deflated. It's like when you take all the air out of, you know, it talks about taking the wind out of his sails. That's an expression that means when someone just kind of comes down a bit. You know, not puffed up, but deflated in our own view of ourselves. I'm not some jumped up anything. I'm a servant of God. Do you understand? Humility. Turn to your neighbor and say, humility. Do you know, I think it's amazing. I don't know if the screens are working, but if they are, if you could put up Daniel 10, verse 12. But I'm going to read it out. And it says, this is when the angel came to Daniel, okay? And it says, from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. In other words, when you got your heart right, then I listened to what you were saying. It doesn't say from the first day you opened your mouth. It says from the first day you set your heart to say, look, I no longer want to tell you what you're doing wrong. I want to try and understand what's going on. From the first day that he humbled himself before God, that was when his words were heard in heaven. Do you know how we pray is so important? You know, not the kind of, you know, one of the things God just dropped on my heart was this whole thing of expectations. You see, with humility, it's that the Greek word is actually a combination of two words, and it's humble-mindedness. So it's having a mind that says, I'm not important, okay? Now, let me tell you one of the reasons why I think it produces such joy, because joy is one of the things that God says he gives to the humble. So if I wander in thinking, I'm really important, so I need to be given a nice latte. Thank you so much, Rhoda. A nice latte because I'm important, and I need to be given, I need this to be provided. I'm walking into my office and I expect my secretary to have something on the table for me immediately. I'm walking into an operating theatre and this needs to be lined up for me because I'm important. Or I'm in this vicinity, so you should do this because I'm here. Whatever it is in your life, you understand what I mean? Now, you see, if they do it for you, you've just got what you believe you deserve. But if you have a humble heart that says, do you know what? I'm a servant too. I'm not more important than anyone else. I'm just coming alongside. Then when they bring you a latte, which was so nice, I mean, the creamiest latte I've tasted in a long, long time, I drank today. And Rhoda says, wow. Then I'm filled with joy. It's not a right. It's a blessing. Do you understand? Anytime someone hands me a latte in this house where my husband and I are pastors, it's a blessing to me. I feel blessed. I'm like, wow, thank you. I ask for it. Doesn't mean I won't ask for things, but I'm blessed when I receive it. Do you understand? So there's a joy that accompanies having the right kind of heart and therefore the right kind of expectations. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, humility attracts God to us. Wow. You know, it says in Zephaniah 2 verse 3, it says, seek the Lord with all of you meek of the earth. It says, seek righteousness, seek humility. Turn to your neighbor and say, seek humility. Seek humility. You know, in the Amplified, that word, they express it. Make it a requirement in your life. Isn't that amazing? So God wants us not just to think, yeah, it's great to be humble. He wants us to actively seek to be humble. The Bible says again and again, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. You know, God doesn't want to have to humble us. Are you hearing me? You know, sometimes when we come to, oh, humble me, Lord, he's thinking, really? You really want me to do it? When I do it, you feel it. Are you hearing me? You know, like the Israelites, I mean, God humbled them. That's what the Bible says. I led you around this wilderness all these 40 years to humble you, to test you, to deal with your hearts. Really? You know, humble me, Lord, is a very brave prayer. Can I suggest a different prayer? Father, show me how to humble myself today. Give me one opportunity today to humble myself and let me see that opportunity. Let me not miss an opportunity to make myself lower in my own esteem. You know, the Bible says, do not consider yourself as more highly than you ought. You know, one of the things I love, I pray for Joyce Meyer. Do you know why I pray for that woman? I really admire her. I really thank God for her life. I pray for her because she's the most well-known preacher on the earth right now. That's why I pray for her. Because I know that the enemy loves to try and hurt people in positions of prominence. I pray for her a lot. And I pray for her marriage, for God to protect her, her heart, for God to protect her husband's heart, Dave. I pray for her relationship with her children. I don't pray for her ministry. I pray for her. But one of the reasons I love that woman is that so often you see in her teachings the way she has deliberately humbled herself. I'll never forget one particular story. And she was talking about one time when she just preached, and 25,000 people, three-day conference, finished up, and she's heading back to her hotel room, and she gets to her floor, and there's a fault with her door. And she's standing outside her door going, you've got to be kidding. Looking at this door that's shut, she can't get in. So someone says, look, you stay there. Let me go try and find out. 20, 25 minutes later, she's still sitting on the floor outside her bedroom door. And this is what I love. She said, oh, and I was so tempted to think, do you not know that I'm Joyce Meyer? I loved that. Because she's recognizing that that's a temptation for her to think I'm something special because I'm the most famous preacher alive. But it's a temptation. Whenever we think, do you not know who I am? Yeah, I know who you are. You're a servant of the Most High God. Yes, I know who you are. You're a child of Jesus. Are you hearing me? You know, when we can deal with those heart attitudes, then God can really start to work with us. You know, and that's why that woman of God really inspires me. It's the stories I hear. I remember one time when, I can't even remember what she was teaching about. And she was telling about one time she'd sat down in her room. She had all her study materials all around her and ready. She says, you know, often I'll be in the Word for 4 or 5 hours and I'm just ready to just dive straight in. And then Dave walks in and said, Joyce, can you do me a favor? And she turned and went, Dave, can you not see? I'm ready to go. And he said, missed your blessing, and walked out the room. You see, she recognized, what's she doing? She's telling a story that says, I'm a wife who's under authority, but sometimes my heart gets out of kilter. She's humbling herself with her very stories that she's telling. Are you hearing me? You know, God wants to give us so many blessings, but he can release them into our lives when we really get what it means to be humble. I want to look at just a few principles of humility. Okay, so the first one, Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. And I'm going to read that to you when I find it. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, how many here are the elect of God? How many? You've been chosen by God and you know that you're his son or his daughter. Wave at me. Okay, so this includes you and it includes me. As the elect of God, it says, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Why have I read that out? You can tell a lot by a person by their friends. Yeah? If you introduce me to your friends, I'm going to know more about you and what's valuable to you. I'm going to know more about what motivates you, what kind of person you are. Yeah? You can tell a lot by their friends. Who are the friends of humility? You know, when you see that word about humility, you see a lot of other words there too. But one of them that's always seems to crop up is tenderness. Turn to your neighbor and say, become tender. Become tender. You know, you see, if I think I'm really important, then I haven't got time for you. If I'm really, really special and, you know, just above everyone else, then I haven't got time to stop and smile. I'm going to walk straight past you because I'm a woman on a mission. But the more I start to realize, do you know what? This life isn't about me. It's about all these other people that I've been surrounded by. Then that humility will make me tender. It will make me want to speak to people with kindness. Do you know, I was the world's best at the excuse of I'm focused, I'm know where I'm going, I'm assertive. I mean, I'm your class. If you go and read about type A personality, I mean, all of them either apply to me now or did before God, like, did a serious tenderization job on me. And I'm work in progress really seriously. You know how you tenderize steak? You get this huge mallet with these spiky bits on it and you go whack, whack, whack. So God's been tenderizing me. Hallelujah. And my husband is a wonderful part of that process. Hallelujah. You see, tenderness is an expression of humility. Kindness, being kind to other people, because it says, when you're kind, it means, you're valuable. I don't count myself to be more important than you. So I'm going to be kind to you. You know, you can all be kind to kings and queens and princes and rulers and leaders and chief executives. But if you really want to know the state of your heart, if I really want to know the state of my heart, it's how I treat someone small, that the world might think is small. You know, I had one of those tests at the airport recently. And we were standing in the queue for BA, about to leave Dubai, and literally, it was an extraordinary thing. I've never seen this with BA ever. But the two people who work for BA, who one was in one queue at the airport and the other was in the queue beside it, they were having a stand-up row, weren't they, Ruth? I mean, a stand-up row with each other. One hurling abuse at one, the other hurling abuse back, and you know, literally a queue of customers waiting to check in. I mean, I've never seen this before. And really, people in Dubai are very polite, so even with the culture, it doesn't fit. But they were having this stand-up row. And I was just watching, and I'm watching the manager on duty. Well, either she was the manager on duty or she just assumed that role. And I was looking at her, and I think every other customer was, watching her, watching them, and wondering how this thing is going to be resolved. And because she saw that me, among others, was looking at her, she came over and said, "I'm so sorry." And I just smiled and I said, "You're doing a wonderful job." And she turned back to me and she said, "I loved your preaching yesterday. It so touched my heart." Ah, Jesus! I thought for you, Jesus, thank you. Oh my goodness. Test. You understand? I mean, imagine if I'd said, "Yes, well, you need to get your..." I mean, imagine what that would have done to that young lady. You don't know who is listening. You don't know who you're with, where you are. But I was like, "Jesus, thank you," as I walked away. And she was a really sweet lady. And I then remembered her name because she had the sweetest name, Cinderella. Isn't that so sweet? But she said, "I'm not beautiful." And I said, "You are beautiful." But you see, we don't know who's watching. And we don't know what it is. You see, anyone who wants to be a leader, God is testing. How are you going to treat the sound person who's just turned it up right in your ear? How are you going to treat the person who's just barged their way into your seat? I mean, you sit there every week. Do they really think they have a right to be there? But you see, a humble heart will say, "I've really had to battle with this one at home. I mean, I have my spot on the sofa. Don't I, Roro? I mean, I have my spot on the sofa." And then we'll have people to stay because we always have people coming and going from our home. And then it's this awful dilemma I have. If they sit on my spot on the sofa, and I'll walk in the room and look and think, "What do I do about this? That's my spot. That's where I chill. That's where I kind of, you know, my feet, I often sit with my legs crossed on the sofa and I get all comfy at home. Do you understand? But my spot on, the other day I said, do you know what, Joe, sit on the floor. And I sat, and do you know, I was so comfy there. And I found a nice little nestled place on the floor and I relaxed. And I had some joy because I gave away my spot on the sofa. Do you understand? Now, let me tell you something. 2 weeks earlier, there was someone else staying and I didn't give away my spot on the sofa. So understand, I'm work in progress. 2 weeks earlier, I'm like, So I watched until they stood up, went to the loo. Hi. Yeah. Yeah, this is actually where I sit. Please help. Any other seat? Fine. You know, but 2 weeks later, new people staying. I'm like, okay, Lord. I will give up my spot on the sofa. Because in my home, I'm well, what are my rights? You know, what's my job in my home? My job in my home is to make everyone else feel relaxed, feel at peace, feel loved, feel honored. And I can do that if they don't think there's places I can't go. Because the lioness of the house is going to drive them away. You understand? Humility, humility, tenderness. You know, of Jesus Christ himself, and I encourage you to study Philippians 2 that talks about the heart of Jesus, who made that decision, do you know what? I'm God. But I'm not going to try and hold on to any reputation. I'm going to become nothing in the sight of others. He wandered around. The reason people couldn't spot who he was is he didn't do anything to make himself look important. You know, but it says of him, and this is the second key I want to talk about today to humility, is it says he humbled himself and became obedient. Hallelujah. Listen, every time I obey my husband, something on the inside of me dies. But it's something that has to die. Are you understanding me? Every time he gives me some sort of instruction that I think, come on. I mean, even the other day, we were having this discussion, for want of a better word, about the garden. And he suddenly highlighted, because he'd gone away and done the garden while I was in Dubai. Sneaky, eh? Amen. So I came back and I'm like, they're like the most prime spot in the garden where I would have wanted either a patio or flowers, beautiful flowering fragrant plants that I can just look out at and go, oh, beautiful. Vegetables. Vegetables, really? You know, I mean, come on, vegetables. And so we're having this discussion. Weren't we, Roro, who was in the kitchen? About, well, salad, yes, thank you. And I kept saying, there's Tesco down the road, my love. He said, yeah, it's going to help us save money, as though that's why you like planting vegetables. It's nothing to do with that. He loves to garden, and I love to have him garden. He loves being out there with a trowel in his hand. And, you know, I mean, I don't get gardening. It's too slow. It just takes time, and I want instant results. And I'm like, come on, flowers, we've put you in the ground. Show us what you're made of. That's why I love sunflowers. They're my kind of flower. You put them in the ground 6 weeks later, 6 foot high, yay. The rest, I'm like, come on. Anyway, so we're having this discussion. And then he says to me, anyway, you were supposed to paint the cupboard in our bedroom, and you did one coat. And I'm standing there thinking, oh, no, I really don't like painting. And so we're having, and in my heart, I knew God's challenging me. Because, you see, to me, I did one coat, and to me, it's fine. Because I'm the one who had to paint it. I think if he'd had to paint it, it wouldn't have been fine. But in my heart, if I'm really going to humble myself, I was thinking, okay, well, when's he going away? And I can just get it done, or one evening, just get it done. You see, it's a humility of heart that says, I'm going to put your needs above mine. I'm going to put what you think is important above what to me is important. You know, I'm going to honor what you want us to honor rather than just what I want to honor. Humility. Obedience. You know, I want to ask you a question. Who are you obeying? You need someone in your life. You can't say God. And this, I can give you a million scriptural reasons. A million scriptural reasons why God isn't the answer. Because you see, it's easy to obey God. God puts people in our lives who aren't easy to obey. Are you hearing me? God will put someone in my life to deal with the stuff that I don't want to deal with, that I can't see. But when we can learn to just obey, to just do what we're told, God will do something on the inside of us. You know, it says in Scripture, that the word says, because of your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself when you heard his words against this place. It's the ability to have a soft heart when someone's challenging you. It's the ability to concede when what you want to do is just defend yourself and stick your heels in until they back down. You know, which will lead me on to the third. And you know, when you read Chronicles and Kings and you read all about the different kings of Israel, and quite often one of the things that God will report about is whether they humbled themselves before the Lord or not. You know, that's one of the things he says. You know, so-and-so humbled himself before the Lord. This one did, this one didn't. And I was saying, Lord, what is it you mean that they were doing when they humbled themselves? So I started to study these references about when these kings apparently humbled themselves, or did, because God said they did. What is it they did, Lord, that made you see them as having a humble heart? Because maybe if I'd known Moses, I wouldn't have known he was humble either. And I started to see, and I'm going to read one particular passage to help you understand it, and it's 2 Chronicles 12, verse 6. And it says, so the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is righteous. Now, the story here is this relative unknown, say unknown, say nobody. Nobody. Okay, this relative unknown went to the king and the leaders of Israel and basically said, you're out of order. God didn't send Jeremiah. Are you hearing me? Jeremiah was around at the time. He could have sent Jeremiah, and how much easier to then repent in front of Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah corrected me. Are you hearing me? Now, this guy was counted a prophet, but he was a nobody. He wasn't someone that, you know, that was really well known. He's mentioned a couple times, and by the end of his life, he's already messed up and, you know, prophesied out of turn. But this king said, you know what? It doesn't matter who is bringing me that message. I'm going to humble my heart before them. You see, a humble heart is like a child. And a child doesn't really know which grown-up it is, but if a grown-up tells them off, they'll listen, won't they? That's the thing with children. They're so easily marked because they are vulnerable. They're open. And so if a grown-up speaks to them harshly, you know, it will wound their hearts. But you see, God wants us to come to him like a child. He wants us to have that heart that is humble, that can receive correction, that can be told. You know, so this third point is that we've got to be humble, we've got to get good at acknowledging when we're wrong. Get good at saying, I'm sorry. Even if it's borderline, you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's 50% them, or you may even think, do you know what, it's 80% them. 80% them. But if there's even a 5% chance that you're responsible, if you humble yourself and say, I am so sorry. I didn't do that right. You know, you're humbling yourself. Do you see, to humble yourself isn't something that you just do in prayer and go, Lord, I humble myself before you. What are you on about, you're humbling yourself? You mean you're bending low, yes. You're bending low. But no, humbling yourself is when you say sorry. Humbling yourself is when you stop and give time to somebody who is apparently in a lower position than you. Humbling yourself is when you're kind to people rather than rushing past. Humbling yourself is when you think, I don't have any rights, but anything anyone does do is a blessing. So I'll be grateful. I'll have a smile on my face and I'll respond to that person with honor and I'll give them honor and dignity. You know, humbling yourself is when you can bear with other people. Long-suffering is a great word and we often translate it as patient, but I think it loses something. You know, some of the hardest people to be humble around are people that you think are proud. Well, I think I need to pull them down a peg or two. Look, have you seen the way she wanders around thinking she rules the world? So just give me a piece of her. People that seem to be easily offended or a bit jumped up. But you know what? We can humble ourselves with those people. You know, the honest truth is that when we're wounded, it is hard to be humble. Because you see, being humble is assuming the position of somebody who is saying, do you know what? I'm going to make myself as nothing. I'm going to see myself like a donkey carrying Jesus on my back. But if you already believe you're only a donkey, then that's actually not an issue of humility. That's an issue of self-worth. And you really do need the Lord Jesus to bring a healing into your heart. Because you see, and I was teaching this yesterday in Life Changers at the Bible Academy, that you see, it's only really when we know our identity as this valuable, precious son or daughter that is loved upon, that is complete in him, that I can say, because I'm that girl, I'm that daughter of my daddy God in heaven who loves me and will give everything for me. Because I know that, I can humble myself. And I can place myself as low before you because I know who I am. So I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, if you have heard this and you've said, yeah, but that's who I am anyway, what God is wanting to say to you is it's not who you are. Who you are is well loved. Who you are is someone that Jesus gave up everything for. Who you are is somebody that is a child of the Most High God, and God wants to do a deep work in your innermost being. You know, but when we have allowed God to do that work in our heart, or we're on that journey, you know, we're on that journey. It's a journey, isn't it? And please don't ever get off that journey of being transformed. Please don't ever stop that journey of being made whole. Amen? When we're on that journey, there's times when we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, Lord God, what do you want me to do to humble myself? You know, there is a scripture that says, be submissive to one another. And this is in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 6. And it says, be clothed with humility. Do you know that word clothed is actually, it's a Greek word, aproned. You know an apron. But it's what a servant wore that differentiated the servant from a free man. So in other words, it was a mark of being a servant. You know, and so submitting one to another, you know, being gracious one to another, considering the needs of others, whether or not they deserve it. Amen? Isn't it easy to love those who are lovable, to honor and be kind and patient with those who are honorable? But, you know, God asks us to have that heart towards everyone. Be tender towards all people, the Bible says. Amen? Hallelujah. And I just want to end just thinking about David. You know, and I love that statement he made when he said, I will be even more undignified than this. And it's the second part that I love. I will be humble in my own sight. You see, whose sight do you really need to lower yourself in? It doesn't actually matter what other people think, okay? It doesn't matter because they will misunderstand you. They will misunderstand your intentions, your heart. They'll think that you're doing something out of selfish ambition when you're just going after what God's told you to go after. What other people think is their business, not yours. Amen? Amen. What you do need to watch is that you're humble, as it says in Scripture, in the sight of the Lord. So what's my heart saying that only God knows? And that you're humble in your own sight. In other words, what's the things that I'm constantly saying to myself about who I am? Are you hearing me? Because David said, I'm not going to see myself as a king when I'm worshiping Jesus. I'm going to see myself as this little boy who's madly in love with his daddy in heaven. Do you understand? It's our view of ourselves deep on the inside that will help us to develop humility. And I want to encourage, you know, I've got a number of goals for 2014. And they're great goals, and I'm excited about them. But I have another goal, which is a value goal. And I have a goal that every day that I will learn something more about humility. That every day God will do a work in me of teaching me how to humble myself, of humbling me when I need a bit of his humbling. You know, that by the end of the year, I'll be going down. Do you understand? That I'll be more and more conscious of what it means to be a woman who truly does walk in humility. And I want to encourage you this morning. Don't just hear this message and go away and say, oh yeah, great. Yeah, God spoke to me about that little thing over here. I need to be kind to that woman at work who drives me up the wall. Go away from here and find a way of allowing God to do a work on an ongoing basis of humility. Why? Because I want to see every one of you promoted. Why? Because I want to see you attracting the favor so you're going to get your wow testimonies. Why? Because I want to see you beautified by the attraction of God towards you. Why? Because I want to see you refreshed in his presence. Why? Because I want to see your relationship with God grow closer, for you to hear his guidance, for you to know him right beside you. He never leaves us or forsakes us, but there's things we can do that will draw him even closer. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just quieten your spirit right now in God's presence. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for your tenderness towards us. Lord, I thank you that over the years, you have always shown yourself so kind to me. So tender in your dealings with me. And Father, I know that your heart is full of tenderness towards each one in this place. When God looks at you, his heart wells up with love, but with tender love, with a kindness towards you, with a desire just to shower you with his loving mercy. And Father, for us to really be able to humble ourselves before you, we really need to understand our love from you. So right now, I just want you to encourage you, just in God's presence, just lift up your hands in this moment. Just lift your hands in his presence. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want you to see the tenderness of the Lord before you now. He's not like a harsh father. He's not one who judges, looks at you and is searching for what you've done wrong. He's the father, the daddy God that stands before you looking for what you've done right. And right now, Father, I pray that you would reveal your heart of tenderness to every man and every woman in this place. Every child of yours, may they know your tenderness, Lord God, your kindness poured out. Oriesta, Lorienta, Toriesta, Co. Lorienda, Lorienta, Orienda, Lorienta, Co. Just receive from. of the Lord. Orienta, l'orienta, morientatorio. Orienta, l'orio. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray right now for every person in this place who harshness, you know that there's harshness about you, that you're someone that others might be intimidated by, may see the harshness. Right now, I just want to encourage you to give your harshness to the Lord, to give that abruptness to the Lord and ask Him to exchange that harshness for His tenderness. If you're someone here today and you struggle with just submitting and obeying, maybe because your trust has been broken again and again, and people in authority have let you down again and again, the Lord stands before you as one who will never, ever let you down. He will never abuse His position in your life. So right now, I encourage you just to release that difficulty that you find with submitting, with obeying. And tell the Lord in these moments, I trust you and I believe that you have my best interests in your heart. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, Father, that for each one of us, any hardness of heart, any self-importance, any pride that has kept you away, because you can't draw near to us when we're full of pride. Any pride in our hearts, Father, shine your light in it, that we may be able to rid ourselves of any arrogance or pride or self-importance, and instead that we'd come before you as children. As children who will submit our hearts and lives to you. Father, bless each one in this place, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. And just before we close today, you may be here today, and if you haven't given your heart to Jesus yet, you've never made Him the boss of your life, you've never handed over control of your heart and life to Him, which is what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. It's when we hand over our lives to Him and say, I give you authority to take charge. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to start this journey with Him, just while everyone else is praying, if that's you, you're saying, I want to do that. You may have done it once before, but you still feel that you're on that journey of actually getting saved. Would you just lift your hand high so that I can pray for you? If that's you, just lift your hand so that I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're just going to pray together. So if you pray with me, just say, Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your blessings that you have in store for me. I surrender my life to you today. I ask you, Jesus, to rule in my heart. Come into every area of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, Amen. Why don't you give praise to Jesus?